When is it a good time? This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. When is it a good time to do anything? A person comes to you and says, "Hey, I lost my dog, can you help me?" And immediately you get up and go and help them look for the dog. You don't wait until later. You don't think, "Well, let's see now, the dog will come home by itself, it'll do these things," or whatever. But you go out and you look for the dog because the other person wants to find their dog. They're not interested in whether anything good will happen to the dog or anything bad will happen to the dog. They're not interested in whether the dog is happy or unhappy. They want to find their dog, and so they go out and they look immediately for the dog. And as they look for the dog, they find the dog. The dog is just around the corner, playing with some other dogs. And they say, "Come on, pal, time to go home now." And the dog looks up at them. He was playing with the other dogs, having a good time. And he looks up at his master, and he says, "Hi! Oh, nice to see you. You want to come play too?" And the master says, "No, time to go home now." And so the master puts his leash on, and the dog says, "Oh boy, I'm under control again. I don't have to think about anything. I just do what my master wants me to do. We're going to go home." And so the dog goes lovingly home with its master. Now, if your dog were lost and you did not go out immediately to look for him, to look wherever he might be, he could be just laying on the back porch and you didn't notice him. He could be any number of places. But you don't worry about him. If you worry about him, then you create circumstances that are troublesome for the dog. But you always say, "My dog is always having fun. He's always doing the right thing. He's always a good dog. Right now he just went for a walk because he was free to go for a walk. And he's always free to go for a walk. But now it's time for him to come home." So you go and look for your dog. You don't think that the dog is going to have problems. You merely think that the dog is ready to come home. And so you go out and you find your dog now. And when you find him, he's having a good time, just like you knew he would be. He's not doing anything bad or good. He's just playing and just being himself and having fun. And you say to him, "Time to go home now." And he comes running to you with all the joy in his heart and his tail waggling and his eyes glowing and his mouth saying, yeah, "I like being with you." He doesn't remember one second that just a moment ago he was playing with the other dogs, thoroughly enjoying himself, just talking and talking dog talk, and doing dog sniff and checking each other out and saying, "Yeah, you're good guys, you're fine." And then when his master comes, that's a now moment. That's another moment. Every moment is a now moment. The dog is ready to come home. Now, if you have trained your dog, you can just go outside and you can whistle for him. And he might be around the block playing with his other friends and he'll hear your whistle. He'll say, "Whoops, guys, gotta go. My master is ready to play with me. I'm going to go and see him. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy." And so your dog joyfully leaves his friends and comes to you. You think, "Wow, where is my dog? Where is my dog?" And then you remember you're able to whistle and your dog hears this whistle over and above everything else in the world. And he'll come bounding to you out of joy, out of happiness. He'll come bounding to you because he loves you. Life is like this. All of life is like this. We would like to have good health. Oh, good health is something that people would pay a ransom for. They would pay all their money and all their goods and all their everything if they just had good health. Oh, if I just had good health. Well, over the years, or not so much over the years, but perhaps over the years, you have not thought about good health. You have thought, hey, I can do anything. My body will do anything I want it to do. My body is good. My body's fine. And then you let your immune system get down because your emotion is down, your attitude is down, you just lost a loved one, or you were denied something you wanted to do with all your heart, and you feel so defeated that you let your immune system get down, and pretty soon you have a sickness. What sickness you have, it really doesn't matter. When your immune system is down, you get sicknesses, because every sickness known to mankind is in your body. And whichever one happens to be on deck that day takes over, and you have a sickness. And you say, oh, if I could only be healthy. And then the sickness persists, because your attitude persists. Your attitude of not liking yourself, your attitude of judging other people, your attitude of being unhappy about one thing or another, and your immune system continues to be in a very low ebb. Now, the immune system does not have to be at a low ebb. The immune system can be anywhere you want it to be. It just waits for you to tell it what it's to do. And so then, you start saying to yourself, I am healthy. I am healthy. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'm healthy. I'm healthy. And as you start saying, I am healthy, you are not saying, I am unhappy. You're not saying, I am angry. You're not saying that other things are bad. You are saying, I am healthy. And you keep looking at yourself and seeing yourself. Ah, it's nice to be healthy. The appearances notwithstanding, you say, it's nice to be healthy. It's nice to be healthy. Oh, I feel so good. And you say, boy, oh boy, am I giving myself a con job? I'm trying to make myself believe something. It's not true. No, you don't say that. You don't even think that. You only think, I am healthy. And when you think, I am healthy, then you begin to express a health. You begin to express a joy in your body. You begin to express a joy in your life. You begin to express a joy in all experiences that you have. I am healthy. I am healthy. I am healthy. I am healthy. That's all you know. That's all you think. That's all you speak. That's all you are. And your immune system inside of you, it says, hey, you know, whatever direction you want to go, if you want to feel sorry for yourself and feel sad, then we'll sort of slow down and let your experiences take place in your life. Experiences that you don't want, you say. But how can you say you don't want something and then you treat it to be here? Well, I don't purposefully treat to have a disease. Yes, you do. You know very well that if you let yourself feel sorry for yourself, if you let yourself feel sad, if you let yourself let your immune system get out of control, and I don't mean out of control, it's in a very good control. It's in the control of sickness, in the control of unhappiness, in the control of every sad thing you could imagine. Now, when is the immune system going to get back in order? When is your puppy dog going to come home? Well, when you whistle, come on, and I just whistled very little, and Rex jumped up outside, and he looked at me, and he says, oh, did you call? He heard that whistle. And he's looking because he knows that that whistle is something that he wants to be aware of. And so he's tuned in very well. Our immune system is tuned in to us very well. And all we have to do is whistle to our immune system, say to our immune system, "Hi, how you doing? Come on home now. Yes, it's a good day. It's a good day." And Rex comes walking up to me and he says, "You can pet me if you like. I'm a happy guy." And when we whistle, our dog comes to us. And when we say happy things, our immune system works for us in perfect order. It's up to us. It's up to us what we want out of life and how much of it we want out of life. Now, I gave that little tiny whistle. You heard the whistle. It wasn't much of a whistle. And Rex, who was 30, 40 feet away outside the building, outside the sliding glass door, he heard me whistle. And he stood up and he looked in the window and he says, "Oh, my boss is calling." And first he looked around outside to see if there's anything more interesting out there. And then he said, "I think I'll go in by him." And so he comes in the doggy door and he comes up to me and I pet him and I tell him how wonderful he is. And then he looks around the room. He says, "I have my love seat here where I normally sit, and I have in the other chair I want, and there's no food sitting for me on the floor. I've already eaten that." So he walks around and he sees my bed and he says, "Ah, there, my master's bed." And he jumps up on the bed, 115 pounds, so gently, so lightly, and lays his head on my pillow and looks out the window and is just as content as can be. He is with me doing what he should be doing. Is your immune system with you? Is my immune system with me doing what it should be doing? Well, it is when I give it the proper instructions. When I tell my immune system, or tell my body, or tell me, "I live in a wonderful world filled with happy people and happy circumstances. I am a very joyful person. I am a very happy, happy, happy person." Oh, come on now. Nobody can be that happy. Try it. It's not that difficult. It's not that difficult at all. And this is what I do. I have set for myself just to, so to speak, 100, 1,000 things that I'd like to work on. I'd like to work on this project and that project and the other project. And then Ellen comes to me and says, "Herb, give me the outlines for two of your lectures that you're going to give in Lucerne and in Bern in October so that we can send it to them and they can promote it. And give me the one that you're going to give in this other one, the Master Seminar, so we can promote that." So the three lectures that you're going to, the three programs you're going to give in October are done. Well, I set everything else aside. And I worked on those outlines. And I made the outlines. And then I presented them to Ellen. And Ellen says, "Oh my gosh, this is so complete. You're telling him everything. You got everything in there." And I said, "No, Ellen. One seminar is 3 hours long. One seminar is a full intensive day long. And one seminar is 6 days long." Now, those are just the briefest outline of notes that I want to share. And I probably won't even get to half of the stuff. Or I will get to all of it, and then I'll go beyond. I'll use it just as a starting point, and just as letting people have notes on some things. And then on I go. And Ellen says, "Oh, but..." And I say, "Ellen, for the last 50, 60, 70 years, I've been giving lectures. And I've been giving lectures all over the world. And I've been giving lectures so beautifully. And my lectures usually have maybe 5 to 7 points in them. And each point is perhaps a phrase, a word or a phrase, and that's all. And now I made a more comprehensive series of points because people like to have some notes to to have to take home and to think about later. And so these comprehensive notes are really important and good points, and they can take them home and listen to them. And Ellen says, yeah, but I was thinking. And I said, Ellen, I think it's time that you start giving some more lectures, that you start giving some talks, that you start representing us and being one of our speakers standing out there telling the world, oh, Herb, you do it so much better. Oh, Herb, you're so wonderful. Oh, Herb, you always do the right thing. Well, if I do the right thing, everything you look at, Ellen, whenever I show you something, you say, Herb, that's wonderful. Herb, that's beautiful. Oh, Herb, you always do everything wonderful and good. And then you're off the hook. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to consider to yourself, is this the way I wanted the outline? Is this? If you want an outline a certain way, you write the outline. And then I'll use that outline and just jump as a jumping board for me, and I'll take off from there. I don't care. But if you want me to do it, then know that I know how to do it, and know that I do it perfectly, and know that it's done well. You see, I mention this not so much because Ellen is wanting me to always have everything perfect, which is wonderful, but regardless of what other people say to us, we always have to be ourselves if we're going to live a life and have fun. We always have to do it our way. We always have to do it lovingly and completely. And when we do things lovingly and completely, then wonderful things take place for us. A wonderful world evolves for us. A wonderful life is there for us. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do this? We watched a video the other night, and it was about a psychologist. And this psychologist said, if you will make positive statements about what you want for yourself, and not say what you want, but say, I am already complete, then it'll be done. So, Ellen gave me one of her positive statements. And her positive statement was about her dog. And she said something about little love, I am whole and perfect. And that's a lovely thing to say. But little love is not Ellen. And Ellen cannot say, I am whole and perfect for little love. Little love can say, you are whole and perfect to little love, but she cannot say, I am whole and perfect for little love. Now, if Ellen says, I am whole and perfect, then she is whole and perfect. And if Ellen is whole and perfect, out of Ellen's eyes, she will see all whole and perfect. She will see little love whole and perfect. She'll see her world whole and perfect, her people in her world whole and perfect. She'll see everybody that she knows whole and perfect, because she is whole and perfect, and as a whole and perfect creator, she can only create things being whole and perfect. So, you have to be real careful, because you cannot speak for another person. You cannot say that another person is whole and perfect. You cannot say that another person is going to be whole and perfect. You cannot say that another person is whole and perfect by saying, I am whole and perfect for the other person. They have to say that. You can say, I am whole and perfect, and I see little love whole and perfect. I see my house whole and perfect. I see my grounds whole and perfect here at the University of Healing. I see my car whole and perfect. I see everything whole and perfect. Because, you see your creation. Now, you cannot say, I am for your creation. You can say, I am for yourself. because you are the creator. Now, are you a good creator? Are you a true creator? Are you a creator that creates everything in your image and likeness? If you do, and your image and likeness is wholeness and perfection, then your image and likeness will be wholeness and perfection. It will not to be whole and perfect. Your image and likeness is wholeness and perfection. So Ellen looks at Little Love, her mini pin, and she says, "You are whole and perfect. I see you whole and perfect. You're wonderful. You're fantastic." And she just giggles over how wonderful Little Love is. She sees everything in her world as fulfilled and revealed. She looks at the millions of projects that she has going in her life, and then she chooses which one is a now project. Which one is now? And then she takes the next one and the next one. Now she can see them all done already and keep her bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits and see everything as already done. Now, that would be perhaps a boring experience for her, because it would be rather boring to have nothing to think about, having nothing to put a cause in motion about. There'd be nothing to wish, desire, or dream of. But you see, every time we ceased living in our awareness in the now, then is always something to be done. When we see everything finished, complete, and done, when we look at every project that we want to undertake and we see it already done, we see it already fulfilled, we will have a very empty list of projects, because they're all done. And that could make life boring for a human being. But if your aspiration is to reveal that you are a divine being, and that that is what a divine being experiences, all is done now, then it would not be a boring life, I assure you. When I whistle for Rex, I see him already here. When I think of Rex, I see him already under my hand that I'm petting him. When I dream about Rex, I see him having fun bouncing and jumping and rolling and twisting and turning and just finding life to be a most, most, most exciting adventure right now. Right now. Every moment, Rex looks at life, and every moment Rex says, "This is wonderful." Every moment Rex is enjoying the now. Were I able to be so living in the now myself, I would not have a tomorrow, and I would not have a yesterday. I would be living in this moment right now, and having the fulfillment of this moment be the most exciting adventure that I could ever imagine for myself. Yes, it is done now. It is done now. When I whistle for my dog, instantly there he is. When I think of my dog, instantly there he is. When I dream about my dog, instantly there he is. When I think about my family or my life or my world or whoever peoples my world, instantly there they are. When I think of them and their desire, I think it is done. And they come to me sometimes and they plead and say, "Oh, help me, help me." And I say, "It is done." They say, "Don't give me that. I want you to help me." Well, it is done. And pretty soon, they stop moaning and groaning, and they start saying, "It is done." And you take a number of deep breaths and let them all out and just say, it is done. It is done. And then they look at their desired project and they see, in truth, it is done now. This is true. Think about it. Have a lovely day and know that it is done. And I love you. I love you. I love you.